Hello and welcome to Meet Her, the newest addition to Virtual Inforum. My name is Terry Barclay, and I'm president and CEO of Inforum, a nonprofit whose work includes highlighting and supporting diversity in business leadership. The Meet Her podcast series introduces listeners to women of accomplishment whose experiences and insights feed us all in our leadership journeys. And I am just thrilled that joining me today is Christine Sitek, Executive Director, Global Purchasing and Supply Chain for General Motors, and a member of the Inforum Board of Directors. With more than 24 years at GM, Christine has led many large teams undertaking global initiatives. Welcome, Christine.
Hi, Terry. Thanks for having me.
So let's just jump right in so that people can get to know you a little bit better. What is one characteristic that you believe every leader should possess?
Just one, huh?
You can do more if it's important.
Yeah. Well, you know what's so funny is I find that it's a bunch of different characteristics kind of working together that create a bit of a secret sauce. But I really do. I do think there's a bit of a secret sauce in a good combination.
Well, tell us about the secret sauce, and that's cool.
I think the first one that comes to mind, Terry, is approachability. And I think there's a lot behind this trait, so I like it. I think it represents being open. It represents being welcoming, accessible, available. Bottom line, though, I think this is about being approachable more so than it is about being liked or likable. While that's important too, but I think approachability and being willing to be open, for the sole reason, I think leaders need people to tell them stuff, right? I think leaders need people to give them information. And as leaders, the worst thing that can happen is if people are afraid to tell you things. I had an experience when I was in manufacturing, and I had this one particular plant manager that worked for me, and I used to visit his plant, and I would spend the whole day on the shop floor, Terry, and visiting, you know, employees and shop leaders and group leaders. And I would meet with this plant manager first for a one-on-one. And, you know, just talk about anything that he would want to talk about. And I remember after my first visit, he said, well, let's just go straight to the shop floor, Christine, because they just tell you everything anyway. He said, they just tell you everything anyway. And he meant it in the nicest way, but it was something I learned. I almost had this aha moment and said, well, that's kind of a good thing. And so I think leaders need people to tell them stuff. So I think approachability is really, really important.
That is such an interesting point. And I'm really tempted to say, so what do you do to cultivate that?
Yeah, I think that's why I think there's so much behind it, right? I think it comes with being personable. It comes with, I think, having empathy for others. I think it comes with the ability to be open-minded. It comes with the ability to accept bad news. It comes, you know, with all those things. And I think when leaders display that, it's way beyond an open door policy. It's not just that the door is open. It's just people walk through it. So I really think it's all boiled in there. That's why I like it, because I think there's so much behind it. And I can capture, I think, a lot of traits in one word. So I was sneaky that way, I guess.
I love that image of it's way beyond an open door policy. You just walk right through it. What a great image. I will hang on to that one. Thank you for sharing that. What advice? I know that you have developed so many great leaders over the course of your career, and you continue to do that. And you continue to make yourself available for leaders as they're climbing the ladder. What advice do you give someone going into a leadership position for the first time?
Maybe something that I learned myself. I think new leaders for the first time they make this mistake of thinking they can do the job better or differently than the person that has that job. So I think it's a very common mistake when young leaders are coming up in their career. And for example, if you're in a team and you are seeking your boss's job, right? I think it's very natural that individuals want a progression to achieve their boss's job. And I think it's also very natural to sit there and think, I could do that job better than that person can, and make assumptions about that person or how they spend their time, and why aren't they working on this, and why aren't they working on that, and why aren't they communicating this. And I think then that same person transitions into that job and realizes, wow, the person's not what I thought they were. The job's not what I thought it was. I now understand why they weren't communicating this or that. I now understand why they didn't spend time on that because they were distracted with this. And I think walking in that person's shoes completely changes that mindset. And so I think that would be advice that I would give new leaders, and many promoted for the first time, that a humility can go a long way, and take that chance and that opportunity to walk in their shoes before you make assumptions, not only about the person, but about the job. And I'm guessing most people only do this once in their career, because then they walk in that person's shoes and they learn and they grow from that experience. But I think it's just an often common mistake that young, brand new leaders make.
Oh, great point. Absolutely great point. I have to confess that I've experienced that in my own career, and it is, you learn very quickly.
I think we've all done it, Terry, right? I think we all have. And so I think all we can do is pass those mistakes on to others and give them a chance to maybe not repeat it.
So, you know, I know that you're someone who really believes in continuing to learn and develop yourself, and as well as others. So how do you continue to grow and develop as a leader?
I think two things really come to mind. One is, I think even at this stage of my career, and actually, Terry, you mentioned that I have over 24 years. Actually, this year it's 32. So that's how,
oh my gosh, 32.
That's how fast our time together has gone. And so I think
well, thank you for correcting that.
No, that's okay. It made me smile. I said, I wish I could go back to it being 24 years. But two things come to mind is, even at this stage in my career, I think the single biggest way that I grow is through challenging assignments. You know, make me feel uncomfortable and I grow and learn the most. And that was the same when I had 3 years with the company. It was the same when I had 10 years with the company. And it's now the same that I have 32 years with the company. So I think challenging assignments are incredibly important in making ourselves very uncomfortable. And that holds true for me. And then I think the other way now too, that as a people leader, I really work hard to surround myself with people that are different from me. So whether that's in, you know, team members that I bring on the team, or when I bring groups together to work on projects, I think about, what can I learn from them? How do they balance my strengths and weaknesses? What can I learn from them? What do they bring to the team? And so I find that I do that more and more now, and appreciate it much more, to leverage different perspectives, to kind of open my mind to better and new ideas. And as a result, I learned from that too.
You know, that is such wonderful advice. I just feel I would like to ask you, do you see leaders sometimes abandoning that approach when they're under stress? Or do you see them leaning in to surround themselves with even more diversity?
Wow. You know, Terry, I think I've seen both. I think surrounding ourselves with people like us is extremely comfortable. And maybe in times of stress or duress, it's comforting, right, to either be validated or to, you know, seek a sense of comfort and thought. But I've also seen people do just the opposite, that say, in this time of difficulty or stress, I really need a balanced viewpoint, because maybe in this time of stress, I need to balance my thought and my behavior, and I might not be at my best, so I need to balance that. So I've actually seen both. Clearly, I'm a proponent of surrounding yourself with people that aren't like you to get different perspectives and increase that opportunity for diversity of thought and ideas. But I have seen both, quite honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I can, and I can understand both quite well, and I can see different situations where each approach might work. I think it is really a challenge, though, to realize that actually you have a better chance of getting a clearer picture of the environment and the world and the opportunities if you do have a diverse team. So what key trait or skill has helped you get to where you are?
I tell you, I think I've always really wanted to be the hardest worker in the room and the hardest worker on the team. And I don't mean that just in, you know, hours spent or, you know, clocking hours. I've always been a proponent of taking on tough things and then working really, really hard to deliver and show demonstrated results. And I just look back and I think every time, almost every time that I've done that, you know, it does get noticed, because whether you're on a project you volunteered for or a project that you volunteer, you know, yourself for, you were asked to do, I think people, they're watching, right? And they see how you work. They see what you accomplish. I think that it attributes itself to your brand. So I think for me, it's just always been around really hard work and the demonstrated results to show what I was able to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense. I've seen that in you. So you've built some incredibly high performing teams. When you're faced with two equally qualified candidates, how do you determine whom to hire?
You know, I just went through this. Last month, I interviewed for a position on my team, and I finished with there was two primary candidates. And when I finished the interviews, it was clear to me that they both could do the job, right? That they both were equally qualified. And so after the interviews, you know, I decided to look at their experiences and reflect on what they told me and look at their resumes. And there was one of the candidates that had taken what I believe, young in his career, a significant professional risk to move to China and work for 6 months under extreme ambiguity and probably, you know, moving away from family and friends to take on an assignment. And not only did I believe that that assignment and his experience would have lent itself to the job, when I looked at the resumes, while they were both qualified, that experience for him, it popped for me, because I said, wow, he took this personal risk. He worked on this challenging environment and this assignment. And I thought there has to be some benefit in doing that. So for me, from an experience perspective, that gave that candidate a bit of an edge. And so I thought he had a leg up for taking that assignment. And then beyond that, I also thought, and I do this often, is I look at candidates and I think which candidate would grow and develop most in the assignment. Because there's some assignments that, you know, you don't want it to be a growth or development assignment. You just need somebody to step in and be able to be really equipped and step in and do the work. But you really want to understand how that position fits with that employee's career path? And is it really a good move in the trajectory of their career? So when I compared these two candidates, the one individual had this stretch assignment living in China. In addition, I believed that the position fit much better with his career path and his development goals. And so that's how I made the decision.
Great answer. Thank you for sharing that specific example. And so one final question. What blogs, podcasts, or other media do you engage with to generate new ideas?
You're going to laugh at my answer, I think. I read Terry only for pleasure. I can't tell you the leadership books that I started and never finished. I have a bookshelf of them. And not because I don't enjoy them or it's not important or I don't need to read them. I just am not good at it. So I'm always transparent about that. And people look at me and say, I always get that question, what's your favorite book? And I'm always like, well, do you really want to know? So, and then when it comes to, you know, podcasts and media, you know, I do a fair share of that. But my answer, and you know me, might not surprise you, but I actually get my ideas and my energy from others and from people. And so I happen to, in addition to my regular responsibilities, I am the executive lead for General Motors Women's Employee Resource Group. And I do that because I love it and I get immense pleasure from it. But what I also get from it is we have devised a women's advisory board. And so it's a group of senior leader women from GM that guides the employee resource group, our objectives and the engagement. And so we have incredible support. And when I think of where I get ideas and where I learn and where I just get energy from, it's from that group. We meet often, so we do it in meetings. We have dinner, we have wine, and we learn from each other. We bounce things off each other. We learn from each other's experiences. And I just find that personal interaction and learning from what each other has gone through and talking through it is better than any, you know, podcast or media or blog or book that I could ever get. And so my spare time and when I need something, I draw on that network and that group. And to be honest, Tara, I get the same from Inforum and you and the board and our time together and the diversity of, that you have in the board. And so it's not a great answer because I wish I had this list of blogs and podcasts and media that I immerse myself in. I do it and I love TED Talks too. But my true answer is I seek it out in from others.
Well, I actually love that answer because I too, you know, you find that you focus in certain areas all day long. And sometimes your brain, your mind just needs a rest and a shift. And so sometimes that's not a business related topic. And oftentimes it is relationships and people that you respect that challenge you and that you can learn from. So I think that's just a wonderful answer and a very human answer, an authentic answer. So I really appreciate that very much. Christine, you've got global responsibilities there. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today and for sharing your insights.
Thank you so much, Terry, for having me and all you're doing to support the growth and development of women. Hats off to you.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, that wraps up our podcast. Please come back to informmichigan.org for more opportunities to meet her. And while you're there, check out the other Virtual Inform components, including a growing library of video tips, virtual leadership development programming, and even a series of virtual events. Thank you.